You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Wednesday. Thank God it's Wednesday. Hump day already. Short week, perhaps, for some of you, with Monday being a holiday. I thank you for spending 30 minutes of your day here today on this Wednesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. You're going to hear the sermon now I just preached on Sunday, and it's the last in this series looking at Moses. We've been doing a character study on Moses, and this is the last week. This sermon is entitled, Moses Walks to His Own Funeral. And as the Bible says, his eyes weren't dim, and his natural, he still had all of his strength. We're going to look at what went wrong with Moses. What terrible sin did he commit that God banned him entry into the earthly promised land? Certainly not the heavenly one. So sin won't keep us out. Unbelief is what keeps you out of the heavenly homeland, not sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not based on what kind of day you had. It's based on the cross. It's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, salvation is, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast about it. Unbelief is what kept the Jews out, and unbelief is what will keep you and me out as well. So, Moses wasn't able to enter the earthly promised land where the Jews were going. His assistant, Joshua, had to do that. We're going to look at what went wrong today with Moses. Well, it's Wednesday. We are not having services for the month of September. We'll be back at first week in October, and I'll be back teaching the book of Galatians verse by verse. So, but we are taking the month of September off, going to have a little break, a little bit of rest here for this last month, or for this month of September. We'll be back at it strong again in October. We'd love to see you for our Wednesday night service. Love to see you for our Sunday morning service as well. My sermon this week is entitled The Parable of the Talents. And the Lord's entrusted you and me with some of his stuff. Talents has a double meaning, right? In the Bible, it was a measure of weight. 75 pounds or talents of silver, talents of gold. You and I also have a talent. This I know is the Lord Jesus has given us a talent, and he's gone away on a far journey, and he's coming back again. And when he comes back, you and I are going to have to give an account for what we've done with what he's given us. That is my sermon this Sunday morning. We would love to see you. Matter of fact, I will let this opening play here Wednesday and Thursday. Sunday morning at 10:30, you are invited. We would love to see you here at Island Community Church. Okay, this is either part one or part two, depending on if this is Wednesday or Thursday. Moses walks to his own funeral. And again, remember what the Apostle Paul wrote where we just started today. They all drank that same spiritual drink. For they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The rock's a picture of Christ. The rock here has been smitten or struck. Out of the rock flows life-giving water. Strike the rock, and out comes life. That's the word picture, right? Strike the rock. That rock is Christ. Strike the rock, and out comes life-giving water. All right, so far so good for Moses, right? Now let's turn to the third book of the Bible, the book of Numbers, in chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Easy turn, right? Next book over. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Everyone with me. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, they came into the wilderness of Zin. Now it's Zin. In the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now remember from the first sermon, remember that Miriam was Moses' older sister. If you guys remember that Miriam arranged for her mother to take care of Moses when he was born, remember? All right, verse 2. Numbers chapter 20, verse 2. It says, now there was no water. Here we go again. There was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. Look what people are willing to do when there's no water. I mean, what is it about water or the lack thereof that turns people into evil cretins who will sell their own soul to the devil? Or we read in 2 Kings chapter 6, will make them boil and eat their own children. I mean, how prophetic is the picture of water, it seems, right? I mean, after all they've been through, here we go again. Verse 3, and the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brothers died before the Lord. Now here come the wise. Look at the wise. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness so that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water here to drink. You know something, church family? I believe that water is very, very prophetic in the Bible. I mean, look what happens to people. Look what they're willing to do when there isn't any water. Now, this is the second time we see people lose their faith in God because they were thirsty. Listen to this verse. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. Speaking of someday soon in the future. The Bible says, I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These have the power to shut heaven so that no rain falls during the days of their prophecy. And they have power over the waters to turn them to blood and strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Uh-oh. There goes your job, Captain Jim. This is why Captain Jim is a professional boat captain, charter captain. But God's been working on Jim all along. Because you come here every week, you sit under the word of God. This is why God makes your life difficult, so that when times like this come, you're going to look at your wife, you see, and you're going to go like this. He's going to wink at his wife. And they're going to say to each other around the kitchen table, we knew this was coming. But unfortunately, he might have, out of 10 boat captains, there might be 8.5 or 9 that are going to do just like these guys did. Because they didn't let God see them through when they were going through adversity in their life. This is why the Bible says to count it all joy when you encounter or fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. What it takes to get through this kind of stuff. Now, this is the second time these people have turned into unbelievers Because they were thirsty. Just want you to see, this is why God makes your life difficult and allows these things in your life, so that he can transform you into spiritual giants. People will spit in God's eye over a glass of water. Imagine how that prophecy is going to play out here in the future. All right, back to Moses. He's angry. He's about to receive instructions from God regarding this angry mob that wants to stone him. Verse 6, Numbers chapter 20, verse 6. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now take your rod, and you and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together." Now look what he says. "Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it'll yield its water." All right, now stop right there. What are his instructions? Let's say it. Ready? "Speak to the rock." This time, you see, he's not going to use this time. Remember, the spiritual rock, the rock was Christ. He's already been smitten. He's already been struck. Now you don't strike him anymore, you see. Now he's instructed, "Speak to the rock." Notice, too, you know, God doesn't do it the same way twice so many times. So many times what might have worked before for you is not the way he's going to have you do something the second time around. More often than not, it won't be the same way second time around. But notice the difference. Remember, the first rock was Christ. Paul tells us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah the prophet writes this, Isaiah 53, "Surely, speaking of Christ, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Now that is shown here in this rock. We wouldn't have known that if the Holy Spirit didn't tell us that. Whoever would have figured that that's what the rock meant? But the Apostle Paul tells us that rock is a picture of Christ. That out of the rock flows life-giving water. Now here, the rock foreshadows the exalted Christ, which is why the rock only needs to be spoken to now. This is why the difference in commands. The Holy Spirit's telling us the rock represents Jesus, the living waters. Remember, Jesus said to the woman at the well, John 4:10, "Drink of this water and you will never thirst again." Again, verse 8, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it'll yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock and said to them, "Hear now, you rebels." This sounds like Captain Barbossa. "Arr! Hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and he struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Uh-oh, you're in big trouble now, pal. I count five serious transgressions. Number one, he disobeyed a direct commandment from the Lord. Obedience is always the key. Samuel the prophet likened disobedience to witchcraft. Get out your broom and your little pointed hat and go riding off against the blue moon, full moon. Disobedience.
So he disobeyed a direct commandment from the Lord. Number two is this, must we? What do you mean we? Since when is this you providing water from a stone? Who died and made you God, Moses? What utter blasphemy. Look at that. We? See the kind of things you can do when you're angry? You're just better off sometimes just walking away from it. Look at what this man did. Really, truly, he didn't believe this, did he? We. Think he's a Frenchman. We. Must we bring water? Me and my brother over here are going to give all of us plenty of water to drink. Third transgression. He struck the rock when he was explicitly instructed to speak to the rock. See, big mistakes. These are fatal mistakes. So he struck the rock when he was explicitly instructed to speak to the rock. Transgression number four. Not only did he strike the rock, he struck it twice, putting the emphasis on him. Look what I did. And stealing God's glory. Don't ever try that at home. Remember when we looked at, good Lord, Aaron should have remembered how many weeks ago did that, remember? When they hauled out his two kids, grabbed them by their hoodies, and dragged them out. And God says, everyone who approaches me must regard me as holy. And he said, I must be glorified. If you guys remember that. So, he stole God's glory. Number five, Moses committed this sin in public in front of all Israel. Verse comes to mind for me personally. It's one that I seriously take to heart. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. Luke 12:48. Verse 12, then the Lord spoke to Moses and said, because you did not believe me. All right, there's number six now on this list. We had five. Number six is unbelief from Moses. He's seen God face to face. That's not how God considers it. God told him to do something. He didn't do it. God says, at least how he values and views things, unbelief is the sixth sin. Six, number six. Because you did not believe me. Heaven help us. If Moses is capable of this, what about you? Moses, the greatest hero of the faith, is susceptible to committing this sin. How about you? Man, oh man, this stuff's just got to drive us to the cross. Grab onto the horns of the altar like they used to in the Old Testament. I just don't want you to say, well, that could never happen to me. That's all. I just don't want you to leave here and say, man, those were some bad guys. That could never happen to me. Don't think that way. The right response is it I? And God help me. Pray his word back to him. You promised you'll never leave me. You promised you'd never forsake me. You promised no weapon formed against me will prosper. You promised that if you were for me, who could be against me? You promised when I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. You promised, let these things draw you closer to him. As opposed to arrogance saying, well, that was them, that's not me, this could never happen to me, is not the right answer. God said, Moses didn't believe. Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you will not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the waters of Meribah. because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. That's Numbers 20, verses 1 through 13. So there you have Moses' transgressions and Aaron's. In a sense, you have Moses crucifying the Son of God again, as this time the rock was supposed to be spoken to as if in prayer. I found this comment, which I liked. This may seem an excessively harsh punishment for Moses. After all, with only one slip-up, he must now die short of the promised land. But Moses was being judged by a stricter standard because of his leadership position with the nation and because he had a uniquely close relationship with God. Hear me now. Teachers and leaders will be judged by a stricter standard than everybody else. That's why you read that in James. James chapter 3 verse 1. Where James warns people that are going to be leaders. He says, let not many of you become teachers. Like Luann, who doesn't even know it. When she hears this, she'll be mortified. But it's the warning. Be careful what you do. Let not many of you become teachers. Knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. Now, on several different occasions, Moses tried to get God to change his mind. We read in Deuteronomy 3, he says, I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account, and he would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that, exclamation point. Speak no more to me on this matter. Wow, was he sure sore at Moses for this sin, wasn't he? Deuteronomy 3:27. He says, go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes toward the west, the north, and the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you will not cross over this Jordan. So you'll see it. But you're not going there. And in Numbers 27:12, Moses gets his marching orders. Now the Lord said to Moses, go up into this Mount Arabim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my commandment to hallow me at the waters before their eyes. Now, isn't that ironic? Moses called the people rebels, while actually he was the rebel. He said, shall we command water, ye rebels? That's not the way God viewed this. He called Moses the rebel. So again, it's another case of, oh boy, is it I? Is it I, Lord? Am I the rebel? Now, Deuteronomy 34. Let's turn there. Moses walks to his own funeral. As Moses climbs up Mount Nebo, he was all alone. Not even his trusted servant Joshua was with him. Alone he climbs. Alone he gazed out. I feel so bad for Moses. I mean, anyone could have done this. I mean, haven't he ever gotten mad before and regretted it later? So now he's all alone. And that's quite a fall for this man. Quite a fall for perhaps the greatest character in the Bible of all time. Again, I think of the words of James. Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. And as Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. Deuteronomy 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south and the plains of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. So all alone he dies. Healthy he dies. Verse 6, look at who buried Moses. It says, and he, that's God, God buried Moses. He buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor was his natural vigor diminished. So Moses dies at 120 years old. His eyes were not dim, that is, he didn't need any of these. And he was just as strong as he was before. Verse 8, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Now we'll leave Moses for now with this send-off from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11:27, it says, "For he endured as seeing him who is invisible." I felt so bad this week for Moses and shed a few tears for him, because I know how capable I am to commit the same transgression as he is. Jesus says, to whom much is given, much is required. So, three things today, 3 points. Number one, always walk in faith, even when there's no water. Water is a test for you, just like it was for them. And don't think that doesn't apply to you, because it does. Number two, keep your eyes on the invisible one. Remember, blessed are those, Jesus said, blessed are those who don't what? See. Blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. So how can you keep your eyes on someone that you can't see? Well, I'll tell you what. This book is the Word of God, and Jesus is the Word of God. So keep your eyes here. Be in the Word of God. That's how you keep your eyes on the invisible one, by keeping your eyes here in your Bible. This is where he speaks. God's always broadcasting. Number three, fear God and reverence his holy name. That is, let your reverence for God dictate what you will and what you will not do. Just like these Hebrew midwives that started this sermon. God bless them, because they had a fear of God.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. He's the Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, John, Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Well, of course, that's often quoted as the gospel in a nutshell. But you know, the verse says nothing of repentance or obedience to God. Could that mean the true gospel message involves only the believing of